Take this job and shove it.
And now back to the Franchise Academy Radio Show with your host and small business and franchise expert, Tom Skarda.
Hello and welcome back to the Franchise Radio Show. This is Tom Skarda, and we are in New York, Long Island, right at the MacArthur Airport, right in the lobby. So next time you come into New York and you come into the MacArthur Airport in Islip, you could stop by and say hello at the radio studio here, which is presented by Sloman Shield. And today we are talking with Jeff Sieber, who is the president and CEO of FranFund, which is a financing company that deals almost exclusively in starting franchises and helping people get the funding to start their first franchise, and also working capital and building out franchises even when they're mature. Jeff, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Tom.
So this is so great to have you on, and it's been, you know, I had to beg Sherry, your wife, to get you on the air with me, and we're finally here, and I'm so excited. And you know, I just, you know, you've been in around FranChoice, the company I work with now. You know, I've been with FranChoice 12 years, and they've been in business 17, and you were there when they first started 17 years ago. So it's just real exciting to me. So we could talk about Jeff Elgin, but we're not going to do that now. Jeff is the founder of FranChoice, but we'll talk about financing, because this is, you know, one of the biggest myths about franchising is that you need $1 million to get started, and it's totally not true. There's so many businesses out there that you could do for just, you know, a couple of, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. I like to say about $100,000, but there's all sorts of things out there, in you know, more than 3,500 franchises in 90 different industries. And, you know, like I like to say, 89 have nothing to do with food, which is actually a lot more expensive.
Yeah, that's true. You know, we do about three clients a day here in our offices in Fort Worth. Yeah. Every day. And we do, I think in first quarter, we were either in process where they in process, you know, a new client or a closed a client in over 100 different concepts in first quarter of this year. So there are a lot of businesses out there that are very credit worthy. A lot of things that, you know, if it fits your profile and fits what you want to do, that money is available for. Last year we did well over 200 different concepts through FranFund. So it's a matter of finding the right one that you that fits you best.
Yeah, it's such a process, and I always say to people, don't get involved, you know, don't get infatuated with a concept, because once you look behind the curtain, you may not find that concept so pretty. So you got to really do very good due diligence, and certain concepts are easier to fund than other concepts. I think you were, you know, mentioning that earlier. You kind of talked about the difference between a brick and mortar and a service business, and it all depends on the, you know, the quote unquote credit box or what the credit criteria that a bank is looking for.
Correct.
All right. How long does it take to get approved and close on a loan right now?
Well, there's one key element there that changes can change that timeline rather dramatically. And that is the real estate component. If you're without the real estate component, if we're in a service business, or if that site is available and you're ready to move on it immediately, right? We can close loans in literally three business weeks, 15 business days. Mm. We've had closings that are faster than that. Yeah. I mean, it does happen. I wouldn't want to be on the clock like, oh my gosh, if I don't get this closed in 7 days, I'm going to lose my lease or my site or something like that, because that, those are rarities, but that certainly can happen.
Yeah.
After 15 business days, if it's not a real estate issue around here, we start to get, you know, we start kind of the bells and whistles start to go off as to why, or the questions are, what is actually holding this up? Usually it's a documentation thing required from a landlord, required from the borrower. Those type of things, or waiting on a document. But the credit decisions can be made and the loan documents prepared within that time frame. Assuming again we have a cooperative borrower. I mean, there's a lot of materials that the borrower has to bring. And sure. And you know, when the bank says, I need the last three years of tax returns, and you bring the last 2 years and don't want to go in your attic or wherever the third year is, everybody just has to realize that, well, if you go back to the government wanting to make sure that their guarantee is in place and or they're going to come and try to refute that thing if something goes wrong, that's what they look at and go, you guys only got 2 years, you were supposed to get three. The whole thing's going to be stagnated until that third year of tax returns are done. So mm-hmm. when the bank or the person that's helping you through the funding process says, hey, you need this, they don't want to get it just to get it. They need it in order to help either justify the loan, answer a question the underwriters might have, or to make sure that the loan file is papered for the SBA guarantee.
Yeah. And it's so funny how the borrower, the person buying the franchise, drags their feet on getting the paperwork that they're supposed to get.
It is true sometimes. I'd say most people are pretty excited. They want to go through it. And we have people here that in the office that are not shy about picking up the phone and going, hey, I really do need that.
Right.
And we try to keep everybody on the and if you don't give it to me, by Thursday, it's going to start to delay the process. And I think a lot of it with our success in getting people through that quickly there are several parts. I mean, one is that we pre-qualify the franchisors that we work with, so we have uh-huh. their white papers and their established stuff with the banks that we work with. They know that concept and know how it works, know the business model, know the way that the cash is supposed to work through the business.
Uh-huh.
And then we work with the borrower to make sure that their documents are correct. And then we are not, like I said, we're not afraid to continue to gently remind people that we really do need the things we need.
Yeah, that's awesome, and I didn't even really put that together in my head. I mean, just to go back to the other comment that you made earlier about the amount of businesses that you could finance and how it's so diversified. You know, right now I have people looking at financing through Fran Fund that are in, maid service, water restoration, business coaching, automobile repair. I mean, it's just so diversified, and all of those loans are going to be under $100,000.
Yeah, we do a good job in that area. I mean, we do loans from say $75,000 to a couple of million. Okay. I mean, depending right. on concept,
of course.
But one of the areas that we have really worked hard to be in and try to be responsive in is that under $150,000. Loan position, because a lot of banks just are not interested
right.
in that, because there's not a huge amount of profit in those loans.
Yeah.
But what we've done is gotten very good at them. And if you're doing enough of something and you're good at it, you can tend to be profitable and it's worthwhile doing. And mm-hmm. and that's we've been able to reach that level of expertise and to reach that level of sophistication to do it. And it's been a good spot for us.
Yeah, that's awesome, and very much appreciated by franchise consultants and brokers around the country.
And by our consultants, I mean our clients. I mean we're in a there are a lot of businesses where you can have bad days and there's not many good ones. Well, ours is normally all pretty good because when you're able to help people get their business open or get started in something they've dreamed about for a long time, mm-hmm. you can usually walk out of this office with a smile on your face every day. So it's a good place to be.
That's an amazing statement. Yeah, you're right about that. And that's what we're doing. We help people change their lives in franchising. And as a franchise consultant and as a finance consultant, it's all about helping people change their lives. But one thing that we always seem to forget about is that not only are we changing that person's life, but also the people that they're going to employ and give jobs to. So they become an economic engine in their local neighborhood as they build their business. And I sometimes, I know me personally, I lose sight of that sometimes. And it's so powerful when you really think about the ripple effect that we have. I mean, you're in Fort Worth, Texas, making a loan, and I'm putting somebody in business in Boston, and they're putting people into work. It's just amazing.
It is. It's a big part of it. I know we've done some, back when we still do it, in our team meetings here and the meetings that we have with us, is we talk about exactly that on how we're able to help, the businesses that we have as we watch them become more successful, because we see their data for a long time.
Yeah.
And we're not just done with them when the loan spinner's doing. We continue to work with these guys, and a lot of times there's second, third, additional units involved, down the line. And we look at some of the clients that we've had for 5, 6, 7 years, and now they've got, 3 or 4 loans with us, or they've used their rollover, which I know we're going to talk to you later, and we get their valuations of their business every year. Mm-hmm. And we see all their employees, and we see all of the success that they've had. I mean, it makes you, you remember when they were that scared to death person on the end of the phone, trying to figure out whether or not they were doing the right thing. And,
yeah.
We had, speaking of Boston, Tom, we had a client from Boston who opened their first unit with their 401k. And then we took the equity that was left in that one, put a loan into their second unit. And by the time they came back for their third unit, we were able to put, a conventional non-SBA loan program, and we rebanked all 3 units.
Wow.
Under that, and left them with additional money for the next unit. And they've been about a 6 or 7 year old client. They came down on one of those, we're going to see the USA trips, get in the car and go. And one of the stops they made was here in the office.
Oh, wow.
We had never met them personally, but they wanted to come by here and meet the people they'd been dealing with.
Wow.
And they were awesome people. I mean, just, they were really, really, really a fun group. And it was a big, kind of a big kick for me and certainly the rest of our staff.
Yeah, that's so cool. I mean, it's amazing. And franchising does that. You really are able to touch people's lives all over the country and even the world for that matter. But, franchising is such a great, American dream catcher, if you will, for so many people. And, I'm a testament to that. And, having quit my job as a transit worker and bought a franchise and, built it, sold it. Now I help people do the same thing. I mean, it's just an amazing cycle. But before we run out of time, I got to talk about the most important thing on my agenda, which is 401k rollovers. Now, when I talk to my candidates, I mentioned that 401k could be one of the best options possible for you, but everybody gets nervous because it's like, oh, it's my retirement money, I don't want to touch it. And then it seems that, I don't know the numbers, but probably 90% of the people that look at a 401k end up using the 401k rollover program.
Well, there's a couple of things. One, and I know that everybody's first response is going to be, oh my gosh, well, how do you do that? I've been told all my life you can't touch that money.
Right.
Well, there is a process, and without boring everybody with all the technical jargon, it goes all the way back to the original law that was written in 1974 that created the 401k process. And when you left your job, mm-hmm. First of all, to access those dollars, you have to have left that employer. Those dollars could be transferred either to your new job, if they had a 401k, left where you had it, or what was really set up then for the management people, because in 74, remember, we didn't have personal computers and everything else, they could actually transfer that to a self-directed IRA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's become the norm. I mean, you see the commercials every day on TV about move your 401k to me, whatever brokerage house that is. But we are actually going back, Tom, is back to the, we're going to transfer it to the new employer. And we set up those dollars that are in that old company 401k, move them to the new company 401k, make that person an employee of that 401k, so that now they're in a new entity, and they have dollars in their retirement, and then we buy company stock. And it's the same way that if you worked at Chase Bank and you could buy Chase Bank stock in your IRA, in your 401k.
Mm-hmm.
And that then puts, tax-free, penalty-free dollars into your corporate account, and you can use it for any lawful business purpose, which in the case of most people is investing those dollars into a franchise concept. Most of the time, there are a lot of those times are that's the equity injection for the SBA loan or part of it or or part of the funding, because you can get a loan in addition to that.
Yeah.
And that process is SBA approved. I mean, the SBA is comfortable with that. And the IRS is comfortable with it, as long as you are do it correctly. You don't want to do it incorrectly. Because then there are significant tax penalties. But when people ask you, when people say, hey, I don't want to touch my retirement, I think the best question that they should ask themselves is, well, when I look at my personal financial statement, what dollars here are not for my retirement? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you've got money in you have money that you've paid taxes on, and you have money you haven't paid taxes on. But all of it is set up for your retirement, no matter where that money is stored, whether it's in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, cash, mm-hmm. wherever. That's money that you're planning on using at a later time in your life. And so what we're suggesting in that funding strategy is, let's use the money that you haven't had to pay taxes on yet. Let that be your investment money, as opposed to your money that you have paid taxes on. And, you know, we'll put that into your this new business as part of your retirement strategy looking forward. And after people start to think of it that way, it really takes that stigma out that you were talking about. Oh, my gosh, I can't touch that money. Well, we're just going to invest it differently. We're not calling it non-retirement money. I think most people, when they start their business, are thinking of that business as something that is going to help secure their future.
Right. Yeah, it will make a lot more money than their 401k will over those years anyway.
Yeah, well, that's the goal. I can't say we're 100%. You know, nothing's ever 100%, but it does seem to be that way in most cases.
Right, and it makes sense. But, you know, the other thing that we get – you know, beat over our head with in the 401k is that, you know, you take that money out, you're going to get hit with these massive penalties. But we could do this penalty free, right?
Right. And doing it with that, and doing it with the strategy that I described, what you've done is worked within the law that was out there, and you've moved that money into the treasury, invested into that stock of that company, and it's still qualified money. In other words, when you go to pull it out of there at some point in the future, you're still going to have to pay taxes on that, on those profits. It's not, we like to say it's not tax-free forever. It's tax-deferred. We're able to avoid the taxes on utilizing that money today. Mm-hmm. But as that, just as if the stocks within your 401k plan now grow, you're going to pay taxes on those dollars as you take them out. The same thing would apply to the business. So you're deferring the taxes and delaying the taxes, but you're not, this isn't tax avoidance. You're going to end up, the IRS is eventually going to get their money from you.
Of course, right.
Yeah, that kind of goes without saying at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, that's the only person that gets paid, for sure, 100%.
But, yeah, no matter what you do, they're going to want to get paid.
That's right. And that it's so interesting. So you could do a 401k, tax-free and penalty-free, and it's already your money, so you're investing in yourself is another way I like to say it.
Right.
So you're taking your money out of where it was and investing it in, you know, your company .com or your company incorporated, whatever it's going to be, and saving a lot of, you know, money on interest rates as well, instead of taking a traditional loan. So it's really a great way to do it. And I know that a lot of my candidates, when they look at it, first they get nervous, and then they go, oh, wait a second, and they have this, it's like an epiphany and a light bulb goes
off. Yeah, most people after they walk through it and learn about it, and then either and take it to their accountant or their attorney, which at first, you know, more and more people have heard of this now, but, you know, a decade ago it was people were like chicken and like, oh, I'm pretty sure you can't do that. And then they would go through it with us, and you could always tell when the light bulb went on, they went, oh, I see how that works now. And then you know, they're on board with supporting their clients' decisions on those type of things, typically. Right. The other thing that it does bring to the, you know, to it is it sets up a vehicle for both you and that 401k is set up for you, and it's set up for you as a business owner to then to be able to put money away, additional money into your 401k, mm-hmm. and for your employees to have that. And you typically do that, you know, after they've been there a year or a year's worth of time. And, you know, having a retirement vehicle available for employees that are there for the long term is a real recruiting and retention tool as well. And so there's some other benefits other than just getting access to the money. I mean, you have to remember you're running a retirement plan. You might as well maximize the use of that also. And, you know, we we always get really excited. About year two, year three, you can start to tell those deposits start coming back in as the businesses settle and start to be profitable and employees and ownership starts to put money back away into their 401ks. It's always a good sign.
Well, Jeff, we only have about a minute left. I want to find out tell people where they could find out more information about Fran Fund financing, 401k plans.
Well, I mean, the main thing is the website. I mean, and it's www.franfund.com, franchise funding, FRANFUND.com. You get on that website, you'll fool around, you want information from someone, you fill out the little, hey, please contact me, a deal, and we'll call you, no pressure, answer as many questions as you want to ask us and see if we can help you, help you down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Great, you know, great company. And some great folks over there. So I just want to say hello to Sherry, your wife, and also Tim, and just everybody over there. Just great folks. So this is Tom Scarter at the Franchise Radio Show. We had Jeff Sieber from the Fran Fund Financing Company, and we'll be back next week. Thanks.
Thanks, Tom.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting, management, or its sponsors.